The Stateside Soccer Show is now covering Ted Lasso.
If that's a joke, I love it. If not, I cannot wait to unpack that with you.
That's no joke. The Stateside Soccer Show now presents Believe Cast. We aren't talking about faith or ghosts.
Do you believe in ghosts, Ted?
I do. But more importantly, I think they need to believe in themselves.
We are talking Ted Lasso episode recaps. So sit back, get ready for us to discuss all the tea.
You know, I always figured that tea was just going to taste like hot brown water. And you know what? I was right. Yeah, it's horrible.
Hello and welcome back to Believe Cast, presented by the Stateside Soccer Show, where we recap Ted Lasso Season 3 every week except last week. And here we are talking Episode 2. But I am Jordan Wiegand, and with me, as always, is Logan Stone.
I know, it feels like a long time since we've, like, because we haven't done one in, like, midweek. It feels like a long time since I've talked to you, but it really hasn't been that long. It's like Tuesday.
buckle up, because we're recording.
Buckle up, baby.
And another one after this. We got two Ted Lassos to catch up on. So if you're listening to this on the Stateside Soccer Show feed or even the BelieveCast feed, I'm not going to drop them both at once. I'm probably going to drop one on Monday, one on Tuesday, and then a new Ted drops on Wednesday. And we'll probably cover that next Sunday or whatever. No, next Sunday is Easter. We'll have to figure out when we're going to record for that. But anyway, we're talking episode 2 today. We're going to try to limit it to just episode 2 spoilers in case if people are also behind. We were behind due to trips, traveling, all that good stuff. But episode 2, called I Don't Want to Go To Chelsea, directed by MJ Delaney, written by Sasha Garon, and aired March 22nd, 2023. The synopsis, news of a top player looking to move to London, or as I spelled it in our notes, Lundo, sends the English clubs into a frenzy. Richmond play their first game back in the Premier League. That's the official synopsis. Well, you know, I would say not many people want to go to Chelsea at this point in real life with the way that they're playing. So props for the foreseeing here by the Ted Lasso writers. But also, I just wanted to say before we go on, I'm really glad, Logan, that they added Zava to the show here. what was your thoughts on Zava and just his introduction in this episode as a whole?
I think the good thing is that I think everywhere in the United States and everywhere in Europe have pretty much been exposed to Zlatan. So I think it hits all sorts of chords because you're like, this is Zlatan if they put Zlatan in a fictional character. I love Zava. This episode was like one of my favorites that I can remember. I thought it was a lot of fun. And you get to see Stamford Bridge and you get to see all the new like Nike stuff with them being the sponsor. So no, it was a lot of fun. I had a blast with it. And then I think the whole time I'd forgotten that Roy, like this would have been a homecoming for Roy. And then as I'm watching it the first time through, I'm like, oh crap. Like as soon as they mentioned, I'm like, this will be cool. It'll be kind of like this Roy coming in, Zava being there. It'll be a blast. So.
Yeah. I thought this was a great episode. I think it's funny that like the synopsis doesn't even mention probably the biggest storyline in this, which is that Trent Crim is writing a book.
Right.
It doesn't mention that at all. That's like the first scene, right? Is them trying to tell Ted to not allow it. They say they're all on board. You know, it's up to Ted, and they're all like, you know, giving Ted the cut it, you know, cut the throat thing. Don't allow it. And then Ted's like, yeah, why not? Right. Which is perfect Ted Lasso type stuff. But now it finally answers a question I had in the premiere that I didn't bring up in the podcast, though, was we got introduced to another reporter from the Independent and we were like, I was like, where's Trent? So I guess he's taken a step back from reporting for the Independent, or maybe he left the Independent and he's just writing a book now. Is that what we're to believe?
Yeah, I think I was led to believe just the fact that like he just left and he was, I think he was, he's kind of at his end. Like, I think that's the impression that I get from Trent, that he's kind of at the end of his time, like writing for like beat writing. And he just wants to do something like this. And I think because people respect him so much, because he, you know, there's the article that he writes with Sam Olbisania that covers Africa. And there's, you know, the political landscape of that. And then all the stuff that he's written about Ted. This, I don't know, it just made sense. It was funny, though, because they did like the, they did the White House visit, and the actor that played Trent Crim, he goes and he's there and he asks a question and he goes like, you know, the fake Independent, you know, I'm a fake journalist, so let me ask you a question kind of thing. But then it was like, where did Trent go? Like, he's one of our favorite characters. And it was like, gosh, they got him off the, he's off the show. He's not,
yeah. At first I was like, wait a minute. So they got rid of Trent. Is he not going to be in the season? And then he's at the White House thing. And I'm like, okay, so maybe it's not like the actor had like to leave the show. He flew all the way to DC to do this press thing. So it felt very odd that he wasn't mentioned at all in the premiere, but he's back here. He's writing a book about the club, following them throughout the season. Think like The Last Dance, but without TV cameras. And Roy forbids the players from talking to him. We learn later he's still bitter over an article that Trent wrote about Roy when he was a teenager at Chelsea. What did you think it was going to be? Did you think it was something like that, that he didn't like him for? Or did you think it was going to be something different? Because to be honest, I didn't think Roy would have probably that thin of skin about it. And I didn't think he would, it kept me guessing then on what the actual reason for him not liking Trent was.
Yeah, I didn't know. Like, I was confused too. But then as I started to think about it though, like, it makes sense. It makes sense as to maybe why Roy. So, but then there's like mention of it, and I guess we'll get into that. But there was mention of the fact that Roy was already kind of a grumpy person anyway. So I don't know. Like, I don't know. It was kind of strange, but I think it all makes sense just because. But yeah, I think Roy, just being a younger kid, I think you'd listen to that more. Because as you get older, right, you don't care as much about what people think. So.
Yeah. That's what I can see, like, players using that as like motivation and stuff. Laminated. But I think it's funny that like he was, laminated. I feel like it was funny that he like kept it so real where he wouldn't even want to talk to Trent. We've seen him have other interactions with Trent, like season one. We just talked about an episode where, you know, Trent follows Ted around and they go to the school, right? And Roy does kind of call him, let's call him the C word. I think he calls him the C word. And it's like, yeah, but it seemed weird to just be so hostile even years after that, you know? Because it didn't seem like he was harboring it that much then. But, you know, especially now that he's coaching and not a player, it just felt weird that Roy would have it, you know, out for him this much. But it caused so much tension, right? It caused so much tension throughout the episode where players didn't feel comfortable to even, you know, obviously talk in front of him because one of their coaches is forbidding it. And you have Jamie about to give a tip at halftime, and because Trent walks in, he has to shut it down. And, you know, Ted says, hey, if you don't squash this with Trent, you're going to ruin a lot more than, what does he say? You're going to ruin a lot more than like the career or the book or something, right? And it's like, what else did he think he was going to ruin? Was it just like the players, you think? Because the players were playing, like, obviously they get the draw after the half, right? So there's a plus there. Maybe they felt a little looser now that they were able to talk in front of Trent. But I just thought it was interesting how Ted said it's like going to be a lot more than just this like book that you ruin, right? So I saw some people speculating online, like, what did Ted mean that, with that?
I mean, I think, one, I mean, the whole AFC Richmond thing, it's so built on culture and fit. Like, Ted doesn't want people in the squad that's not going to be a fit. And they talk about this with Zava when and it's something that I think happens in the next, I want to say it's in the next episode where they're talking about it, but in more depth. But they really just, I mean, I think with Ted, it's just a big concern of, like, everybody needs to fit into the squad. It's why Jamie Tart, he was very hesitant about letting Jamie back in. But then Ted started to go through that mental, the mental struggle that he had. And it was like he would just shunned everything out of his life and everything he believed in and then let Jamie in, no matter how Sam Obasanya felt about Jamie. So I think that's what Ted meant, is just the fact that, like, with Roy doing this, it could really throw off the chemistry in the locker room. So that's all. That's, I don't think there was much behind it.
So that's kind of like the big storyline for Roy and for Trent and for Ted. Keely has a storyline where she is having problems with her PR firm. She hires her inexperienced model friend Shandy, which also frustrates the CFO, who we've gotten to know a bit here. But what are our thoughts on Shandy here? Because I feel like she's going to be a little bit of bad news. I don't know. I just get this feeling that, you know, Keely wasn't super experienced at this stuff either when she started. She's still not. Now we have Shandy joining, who's also not very experienced with this stuff. We have a CFO who's reporting to the bank and is not very happy with probably the way things are being run. I'm not seeing a good future for Keely's PR firm.
Like, I saw, like, in this episode, it was, and yeah, I think that something probably happens. Obviously, I think that's the big buildup, is that she gets into trouble with somebody. I was starting to lean more, maybe she gets in trouble with Jamie or something. That kind of situation, where I think it's going to be more of a headache for Keely than really Keely's business. I saw it more as, like, Keely sees Shandy as what she was with Rebecca. So Rebecca took in Keely, who really just, all she did was have the good looks, and if she just took off her clothes, she was going to make a lot of money. And I think that's the kind of model that Keely was. And then when Rebecca takes her under her wing, gives her a job in the club, I think Keely's like, I'm so much better than just having to sell my money for, or sell my body for money, and kind of thing. And I think that's ultimately, I think Keely sees the same thing. Like, Shandy comes from a place where, you know, that maybe they're not coming from a good spot, that she too, all she does is just sell risque pictures of whatever. And I think that's where she sees that. And I think that's where Keely's kind of like, maybe I can take her in, like Rebecca took me in. And I think that's kind of where they're playing. But I think you're right, Jordan. I think down the line something's going to happen, because I think she says a lot of interesting things to different people, and you're like, oh, that's kind of rough. Like, I'm not sure I would have said that. But, and the way that she talks to each of the players. Although, when we get into the next episode, I think she has one of the best parts when she goes after somebody. So,
yeah, it should be interesting. I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop with Shandy, I guess.
She reminds me of Sassy. You know what I mean? Like,
these names do, for right? Sure.
Yeah. But, like, I think, like, the spunkiness and, like, the very straightforward, they're very similar. I think that's kind of what the show's playing at. Is that
it's hard to tell with Ted Lasso, I think, because sometimes I feel like I'm probably thinking in cliche ways of, you know, Shandy is going to try to take over, you know, Keely's spot, or gonna take a lot of the credit for something that wasn't her doing or something. And that's probably because other shows would do that, but I'm always kind of skeptical on if Ted Lasso will do that kind of stuff. So it's like, you know, they usually stay away from some of that stuff, so it's kind of like hard for me at times to kind of predict where the show's gonna go, you know, when we're basing it off of what maybe other shows have done. All right, so the big storyline of the episode is Zava. He is a player. Ted has no idea who Zava is until Coach Beard shows him a video of him headbutting like a thief in the store, and which is funny because that's probably how he would be better known in America, is from like a viral video than like his actual ability on the field. Thinking of Zlatan, you know, I think people may have know about him over here. He was on like Late Night with like one of
it was Kimmel.
Kimmel,
I think.
Probably, yeah, because they were probably trying to promote it.
I don't watch the other. I like Jimmy Fallon, but I don't like Conan O'Brien. I don't like James Corden, so I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah, they were probably crossing over with because ABC is Kimmel and they have ESPN, and that's where he was on. So, you know, he kind of got maybe notoriety from that type of stuff. But I would say, like, if you went to the average person on the street, they probably don't know who Zlatan is. If you showed them a picture, they'd probably be like, I've heard of him, but I don't know if they know how stuck up. And, like, look, this is absolutely Zava equals Zlatan. There is no question in the world. Man bun, same sort of stuck up attitude.
His build, his tattoo.
Like, right, exactly. There's stuff in here that's like, I saw some people on like Reddit and stuff be like, do you think that Zava is based off Zlatan? I'm like, it couldn't be more obvious. I'm sorry, it couldn't be more obvious in this show that's who he's based off of. But it's and they nailed it. Like, he is acting like, if you think this is a caricature, you have not met Zlatan Ibrahimovic, because he is a caricature. I mean, look, LeBron sent him a jersey or something, and he was like, I signed it and sent it back to LeBron, like, now it's worth more or whatever. Like, that's the type of mindset that Zlatan has, which is exactly how he is in Zava here.
And Zlatan speaks in third person, if anybody doesn't know. Like, he'll speak as, he'll go, Zlatan does this, and it's like, what? Oh, man. Because I think there's a clip of it that he's talking about himself, and all he's talking about is Zlatan this, Zlatan that. Which is really weird, though, because, like, I mean, you were obviously following, you've probably followed him more than anybody else, and then he came to the MLS, but I don't remember enough about him in press conferences to know really if he was, I mean, I know he speaks of himself like that, but I don't ever remember any of his stories about Zlatan, like if players liked him or not.
Here's some quotes. I looked up some quotes from Zlatan. All right. It's from an ESPN article in 2017. 35 best quotes. Not going to do them all. I can't help but laugh at how perfect I am. It's one of these. So John Carew was suggesting that Ibrahimovic's flicks and tricks were pointless. And he says, what Carew does with a football, I can do with an orange. When you buy me, you are buying a Ferrari. If you drive a Ferrari, you put premium petrol in the tank. You hit the motorway and you step on the gas. Guardiola filled up with diesel and took a spin in the countryside. He should have bought a Fiat. Somebody asked him, I guess, what he got his girlfriend as an engagement gift. He said, what do you mean present? She got Zlatan. I mean, like, this is the type of guy we're talking about here. Only God knows who will go through. The reporter says, it's hard to ask him. And Zlatan says, you're talking to him.
Oh, man. That's brilliant.
Oh, my. I mean, it is just amazing the type of mindset this guy has. I mean, he's gotten into fights with people on his own team. I would say maybe Zava in the show is a little bit more chill than Zlatan is in real life.
Yes. But,
you know, it's that type of attitude that he has, the third person talking to stuff. Just, you know, that's who he is. And scoring amazing goals. We'll talk about that next episode for sure. But in real life, Zlatan scored a lot of great goals. So this is, you know, all very interesting on how they're portraying this. But here's the thing, and here's why people put up with it, right? Is because it works, right? I mean, Zlatan has gone so many places and has won so many trophies. He's been a part of teams like Malmo in Sweden, Ajax in the Eredivisie, you know, Juventus, Inter Milan, Barcelona, AC Milan, PSG, Manchester United, LA Galaxy, where he scored 52 goals in 56 games, by the way, AC Milan. And when we're looking at what he's won, when you're looking at like trophies and stuff, he's won like two league titles in Netherlands, two league titles in Serie A with Juve, three with Inter Milan, two with AC Milan. He won a Europa League with Manchester United, EFL Cup with Manchester United, PSG. He won the league four times. He's won a cup in France twice. He won another cup in France three times. Like, the, you know, Barcelona, he won the Club World Cup, the UEFA Super Cup, La Liga. Just constant winning everywhere he goes, which is why people, you know, put up with it. And that's kind of what Rebecca and other people are asking in the show, right? Why do you put up with somebody like this? And it's because he wins. And people, you know, look at the admiration each of these players have when they're linked, just linked to Zava. There's no real shot of Richmond getting Zava, right? But, you know, they're linked to him. The whole thing, like the whole like clubhouse is just totally in love with getting a player like Zava because he'll help them win games. I do love the part when they go in like the locker room and we have, you know, the players are stressed out about something, a rumor, and it's about the Keeley and Roy breakup, right? And Ted comes out and he's like, what, is this about us getting Zava? And everybody's like, wait, what? We're getting Zava? And he's like, well, we're like, you know, linked to Zava. And then people figure out it's about Roy and Keeley, and then Ted passes out because of that. And it's just that whole scene was really great.
That's also I think that's the scene too, when Trent Grimm comes in. This is my favorite part. Trent Grimm comes in and Roy goes, hey, listen up. And he, you know, in a very Roy Kent way, it's like he drops the F-bomb and he goes, don't talk to this prick. Nobody talks when this prick is around. And they go quiet. He goes, I'm going to put my forehead and my skull through your chest if you do that. And then my favorite part of this is they obviously didn't catch this in editing, or they did, and because they do play off of it later, which mm-hmm. I thought was interesting. But Phil Dunster, who plays Jamie Tart, you can see him in the side of the angle right behind Ted. And I don't think you would notice it if you weren't really paying attention to Jamie. But Jamie's sitting back there, and you can tell that Phil's just trying not to laugh because it's so, like, you can tell they probably went through this scene quite a few times because Phil kept going, like, kept laughing at it. And they finally get in, and you can just see Jamie going like this, like, smiling, like, what? And he storms off and slams the door, and everybody kind of looks at Trent like, oh, crap. And that's when Danny Rojas, my favorite part, he goes, F off, Troy Trent Krim.
Yes. Yeah, I love when Danny joins in on it. But yeah, the part that you're talking about with Jamie, I keep seeing people thinking that he broke, and maybe he did, but I also think that just fits Jamie's. I think that fits Jamie's character to just be like, right, look at how upset Roy is about this. Because they still don't get like super along, right? Yeah. I mean, like they get along, but they're not like. So it's funny though, because I when I watched it and noticed it, I just thought it was Jamie laughing. But
But it is alluded to. It's a small part in the next episode. Because there's a part in the next episode where Jamie just goes, "Isn't it funny whenever Roy yells at somebody else?"
Yes.
So that's where I was like, "Okay, that makes more sense now." Maybe they did catch it in editing and they just put that in as a line, because it's not really a line that was needed. And I thought it was pretty funny just because Jamie. It's just like I've done that where I've had a teammate get mad, and you know they're not. Typically, like, they're not speaking literally. They're speaking more figuratively, but you kind of laugh at them because you're like, that's pretty funny. Why are you yelling like that?
Well, you know, what I like about some shows, like, let's say, like, How I Met Your Mother, right, is that the characters will laugh at the other people's jokes, which is a little different than, like, Friends, right? Friends, like, Chandler is making all these jokes, but, like, nobody ever laughs, but they always talk about how he's funny, and I'm like, but you never laugh at Chandler's jokes. But in, like, How I Met Your Mother, like, Marshall will say something funny or Barney will say something funny and you'll see like the rest of the group laugh at the table. And I think that's such like a, you know, such a good thing, and should be probably be in more shows like that when something is actually funny. Like in this case, Roy just having an absolute fit, like seeing a character like Jamie laugh. You're like, okay, yeah, maybe he is happy that it's not him that's on this end of Roy's screams for once. But what I really liked about this Zava storyline is when, you know, it's Rupert shows up, right? Rupert shows up, he's trying to sign him, and Rebecca's worried that she's going to lose him to West Ham. So originally he was supposed to go to Chelsea, right? That's why he's there at the game, he's taken in the game, which is something that happens in the world of soccer. I don't know if it really happens in other sports.
No, it would be seen as tampering because they're usually interleague. Like it would be, if NBA did that, it would be seen as tampering because you're like, why the hell is so-and-so at that game? Like,
yeah, there's no tampering in world football because they can pay they'll have to pay the fee and, you know, the team gets something out of it. You know, you have this where they kind of welcome and they're like, hey, we're taking a game here. We're going to get ready to sign the contract, that type of stuff. And he's going to join West Ham. But Rebecca catches him, goes in the bathroom.
Great.
I just like how she storms in here, by the way. And I love that how long he's peeing.
This is like the bladder of a champion.
Really impressive. You know, he's peeing the whole conversation, but Rebecca does something that I ask all the time, and I probably have done this on one of our podcasts before. When you're a player that good, or when you're a coach that good, why do they always make the leap to another really great team? And she says it's because he's scared, right, that he isn't as good as he is, or that they can win even when he doesn't play. So it's not like he's, you know, missing much. You should go to a team that is worse and turn them around, which is, my God, thank you, Rebecca. This is exactly what I've been saying about people like Pep Guardiola that go from Barcelona to Bayern Munich to Manchester City. No, go to Harrogate in the fourth tier and make them a good team. Like, that's what it should be, right? Zlatan, who jumps around to every single good team. It's also because the good teams can afford him and the good teams are interested in dealing with them, I guess, to make them better. But, you know, to go somewhere where, you know, you are actually, I mean, really, he did that when he went to the Galaxy because they were kind of on the tail end of their good run, and he kind of helped turn them around for a bit, and then they immediately fall apart when he's gone. So, like, there's, you know, there are situations like this where you would want the player to go to another team and help get them over the line. I would say it's almost like Tom Brady going to the Buccaneers, and then he made them world champions in the Super Bowl. That type of thing where it's like, go to a team that is going to be tough to win. And you know what? He takes up this challenge. I love when he's going there to sign the contract and it's on TV. He's like, I changed my mind. I'm not signing with you. And, you know, Rupert's all watching it on his phone. He's like, haha, we got him. He's going to West Ham. And he says, I will play for Richmond. And he never actually had a real offer by Richmond, by the way. So Richmond now has to actually pony up with this, but I kind of saw it coming from a mile away, though, right? There was no shock that it was going to be him choosing Richmond.
Yeah, and I think, too, because the lead up to it is like this metaphor for, like, Rebecca had chosen Rupert because Rupert has this way with players and women too, is that he's just notorious. He gets what he wants. He always gets what he wants. He's able to kind of woo people in a way that she was always jealous of, even now that she's no longer with him. And then my favorite part is when they're in the tunnel and she runs into Rupert, and this is before they go, she goes to see Zava, or he comes down to go to the bathroom, and she's like, you know, what, how can you do, like, how do you always keep doing this, like, this kind of thing? And he's like, you know what, you can have a true love for something. Or she goes, how do you do this, knowing, or like, how do you go by West Ham knowing that AFC Richmond is your true love? And he goes, yeah, but just like a good old man, like they always do, once we get bored with something, it's the same old, we just move on to the next best thing. And kind of speaking about Rebecca and that instance of AFC Richmond. And then Rebecca's like, you know what, to hell with you. Like, I've got my own abilities. I can go do this and recruit. And that's what she does, is she's able to kind of break free and go to kind of recruit Zava. But it is a cool metaphor. Like, it, that's what, and Trent Krim always says it, like, it's the sport's always a good metaphor for all sorts of different things. And it's kind of fits with Rebecca's situation.
Yeah. Kind of, you know, Rupert knows what he's saying there. Rupert knows what he's doing when he's digging in
always
like that. But it is hard to, like, I couldn't imagine. Could you imagine, Logan, like, you're a Cubs fan, right? Let's go with that. That's been a part of your life since the 90s, right? Like, Orlando City is kind of new, right? Let's take the Cubs. And you own them. You're a biggest fan of them. You own them. You win a World Series with them, all right? And then you get divorced and you lose it. Now Ashley owns the Cubs, all right? And now you buy the Cardinals. And you're like, no, I'm all about the Cardinals now. But I could not imagine that.
I couldn't do it.
It's like me buying the Yankees. I can't do that.
No, couldn't do it. I'd just be like, I'll go buy it. I'll go buy like a minor league team or something. I don't know. I'll go buy another sports team. I don't need to be baseball.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, look, if how trapped I am in my sports teams, it'd be like, all right, I guess I'm still rooting for my team. I just don't own them anymore. My ex-wife does, you know, like, I don't know. Right. It's kind of tough. And Rupert kind of tries that, you know, throughout season one, where he's trying to get back into Richmond, right? He's a minority owner. Oh, yeah. Did we get resolution on that, by the way? Does he sell his minority stake to buy West Ham, or is he a minority owner of one and a majority of the other?
I mean, I guess he would. No, we never really did. Because, like, the only thing we get is Ted says, if I win this dark game, you have to stay away from the team. That's the only thing we ever get, I think, with that. So I'm assuming he still owns portions of it. Like,
well, you know what? It's actually under Bex's name, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right. She does. So technically she owns some of it.
Yeah. Maybe she'll sell it back to the Milk Sisters. I don't know. We'll see.
I kind of want to meet them.
Me too.
What if it's Sassy and Shandy and they're the Milk Sisters? Blockist.
That'd be interesting. All right. Let's go ahead and I guess wrap it up. Anything else about this episode before we move on to Player of the Week and Employee of the Week?
No, because I can get into that stuff with our picks. Okay. So.
My Player of the Week, I had Danny Rojas for scoring the goal off of his face.
I like that he says, I scored my face. I scored my face.
That is such a Chicharito reference, I think. He kind of had the same thing happen to him. And we know Danny is, I think,
very
a Mexican
Chicharito-ish.
Player.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, too.
What's yours, Logan?
This one's tough, but I think I'm going to go Jamie here, only because... Jamie really starts to take on a leadership role. Like, you start to see him go, why do we care about this diva? So when Zava shows up to Chelsea, Danny's like, Zava's here. And he goes, go away, man. Like, go back to your position. Why do you care who's here at the game? But you do. You start to see, like, Jamie. Like, I'm a huge Jamie Tartt fan, but I think this season's taken it even a step more. Like, I love Jamie in this season because I really think they're doing a nice job of showing us a different side of Jamie that we've not yet seen. So... I love this.
That's perfect, Logan, because, you know, when we're talking about people asking, does Nate need to be redeemed? Are they going to make me like Nate again? People felt a lot of the same way probably about Jamie in season one. Jamie was an absolute dick in season one of this show. And I thought I would never be able to like Jamie Tart. And here we are, season three, and he's great, right? Like, he is going through this journey. So my point being is that they can make you turn around on any character at any time. Employee of the week, I have to go with Rebecca for absolutely talking shit to Zava and ultimately getting him to change course and come to Richmond. So, yeah, we have to go to Rebecca here.
Yeah, I would go honorable mention Trent Krim because now he is an employee. But I'm going to stick with Roy on this one because there's an instance at the end where he's talking about, because Ted asked him, how it felt to be finally back at Stamford Bridge, at Chelsea, you know, in front of that crowd, because he hadn't been there since. And he said, you know, that last season that I played, I was awful. And he turns kind of to Trent and goes, I was awful, right? After they have kind of squashed the bug a little
bit.
And
Trent's like, look, I don't know what you want me to say. Yeah. You just yelled at me.
Right. Because Roy and Trent have this moment where they make up finally in this episode where Roy says, you know, at the age of 17, you wrote this damning, review of my performance and just who I am as a player, overhyped starlet child, basically, that's angry and just doesn't fulfill any kind of aspect that he was supposed to fulfill as a young player. And he goes, that absolutely crushed me. But you see this, you see, again, once again, you see Roy being the softy that we know he can be at times, and really getting in touch. But I think the coolest part was that he was like, you know, I was a broken down football player, and you and I talked about this all the time. We're like, how come people just continue to keep playing when they're broken? Like, call it quits. And I know it's tough, and we've never been in that position. But if I ever got to a point where I was just like, you know what, as an athlete, I just can't do it at the level that I want to do it. I'm not going to go sit on the bench or, you know, become this, you know, 45-minute player that's just going to come on for random appearances. I hate that so much.
Look, Logan, I was the best softball player on my rec league. Yeah, right? I hurt my shoulder and I called it quits when I tried playing a season and it didn't work. So, does it hurt the team? Yes. It ultimately hurts the team that I'm not out there every week.
Yeah. Right. They really needed your prowess in that right field area. But no, I just love what Roy says, because Roy is just like, you know, he gets the ovation that he wanted and deserved. They didn't boo him at all. There's no boos. It's just a bunch of chanting. They've got a banner up there that says there's never going to be another man.
They booed him online.
Yeah, they did.
For people that don't know, there's this whole fit. Because the sign that says there's no one else, like, there's no one like Roy or whatever, said originally like Ray. And it was about Ray Wilkins, Chelsea legend. And they digitally altered this one letter to an O to make it Roy instead of Ray. And people flipped out. The Chelsea Supporters Trust put out a statement for some reason. Chelsea legends were saying stuff. And then it's like, Ray Wilkins' kid, because Ray Wilkins passed away. Ray Wilkins' kid came out. I was like, this was for TV, dudes. Like, the real banner is fine.
Yeah.
We're all good. Because people were getting on Todd Boehly, who owns the team, and he said, this was done before I even took over this thing. So, it was absolutely insane. And then once Ray Wilkins' kid comes out and says, like, we're fine with this, the real banner's fine, then everybody's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. But it was like, wow. I follow a lot of Chelsea people because I, you know, support the team. And, you know, that's most of the stuff that was going on. And I hadn't seen the episode yet. I was in LA, you know, scrolling. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And I had to look up a picture of like the banner and everything. And I'm like, oh, people are crazy.
Yeah. That is the background of everything. But my favorite part is when Ted, at the end of that, he goes, yeah. But if you hadn't come to AFC Richmond, then you wouldn't have met me. And he does the whole, like,
yeah,
because he does that twice now. He's done it twice where he's looked at Roy like that. And then the coolest moment is when Roy looks at Trent. There's a moment at the end of the episode when Roy looks at Trent and he kind of looks at Trent like, yeah, I wouldn't have met Ted. And it's really changed my life, is ultimately, like, he gives Trent that nod of like, write that down, because this is how he treats people. Like, he just, this is Ted. This is who he is. So I'm assuming at the end of the season, we're going to get a Trent Krim, like, narration of all the stuff that he's kind of read or written So,
oh yeah, you know, that'd be interesting. I'd like to see like a time skip if this is the last season, and you have like them talking about Trent Crim's book, and maybe people like, maybe the last episode is just like a year in the future. The books come out, and we kind of see where everyone is.
Yeah.
You know, like Ted's met his wife and she's passed away, and now he's back with Robin. And oh, sorry, that's a different.
I was like, what?
Stay away from that ending,
right? Yeah.
but yeah, no, I'm excited to see how they do with the Trent Crim stuff. I'm gonna say he's not an employee though, Logan. So I'm not gonna that's allow not the honorable mention. I'm sorry.
He has a desk.
Dishonorable mention.
Boo.
All right, so we'll wrap it up there and get ready to record our next one. But if you want to give us any sort of Ted Lasso feedback, @believe_cast on Twitter, email tedlassorewatch@gmail.com. Or you can reach us on the Stateside Soccer Show feeds, Twitter at Stateside, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Stateside Show, and email us statesideshow@gmail.com. And we'll be talking next about episode 3, 4, 5, 1. I know that sounds confusing because it sounds like I just said we're talking episodes 3, 4, 5, and 1. We're talking about episode 3 titled 4, 5, 1. So yeah, we'll talk about that next.